During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
Erin's first experiences with the paranormal were not things she remembered. They were things she was told. They came to her later in fragments, in the way family stories often do, half-finished sentences, lowered voices, moments recalled only when someone felt brave enough to say them out loud. They were stories her mother rarely volunteered and never elaborated on unless pressed. Even then, the details came cautiously, as if speaking too much might invite something back into the room. Erin grew up knowing, long before she understood why, that her mother carried something with her. Not an illness, not a secret exactly, just a sense that certain subjects were better left alone. The paranormal was one of them. When Erin was old enough to ask questions, her mother explained where it all began. She had been a child herself, no older than 8, when she found the Ouija board tucked away in the attic of her church. It wasn't dramatic, no candles, no warnings, no intention of summoning anything. It was a game to her, something mysterious and forbidden, enough to be irresistible. She played it with her brother, laughing at first, pushing the planchette across the board without much thought. Then it started answering things it shouldn't have known. Names, dates, details that were later confirmed by their grandmother. Things children had no reason to remember or invent. At first, the adults brushed it off as coincidence. But not long after, the house changed. Her mother described beds that shook without warning, unseen hands that grabbed at arms and shoulders, footsteps that crossed rooms no one was standing in. She remembered the way fear settled into the walls, how the house never quite felt empty again. Whatever had responded to the board did not leave when the game ended. It followed her. By the time Erin was born, the activity had softened into something less obvious, but no less present. Her mother insisted it never truly went away. It lingered at the edges of rooms, in moments of quiet, in the strange certainty that someone else was nearby, even when no one could be seen. Erin's earliest known encounter happened before she could speak in an apartment not far from the hospital where she was born. Her mother used to watch her sleep and notice her tiny hands swatting at the air, her face scrunching as if someone were tickling her nose. Sometimes her father did the same thing, brushing at nothing in his sleep, shifting restlessly. At the time, it was unsettling but easy to dismiss. Babies moved, people dreamed, but it happened often enough that it stayed with her mother, filed away as something she didn't like to think about. The memory that haunted her most, though, happened while Erin was still small enough to be carried. They had returned from Erin's one afternoon, arms full, the apartment quiet in that way it always was before something went wrong. The front door opened into a narrow hallway, dim and long, ending in a small table decorated with a vase and a few personal items. Aaron's mother closed the door behind them and took a step forward. That was when something crashed to the floor. She never remembered seeing it fall, only the sound of ceramic shattering, sudden and violent in the stillness. Before she could react, a growl filled the hallway, low, close, moving toward her. She didn't wait to understand it. Still holding Aaron, she turned and ran, yanking the door open and fleeing into the daylight. She didn't return until someone else came with her. Even then, she rushed through the apartment, heart racing, expecting something to reach out from the shadows. Nothing was there. Nothing visible. But the fear never fully faded. By the time Aaron was old enough to remember things herself, they had already moved again. They moved often when she was young. Different houses, different towns, sometimes entire states. Aaron later learned that this wasn't unusual for her family. But part of her wondered if it had been easier to keep moving than to stay in one place too long. One of those homes had a basement, and it was there that Aaron developed what her mother later described as an imaginary friend. His name was George. George lived in the basement and nowhere else. He didn't come upstairs. He didn't play tricks. He wasn't mischievous or frightening. He was simply there, and to Aaron, he was real in the uncomplicated way children accept things. She talked about him casually, drew pictures of him with bright red hair, explained his rules as if they were obvious. George could not leave the basement. When the family moved again, Aaron accepted this without argument. George stayed behind. He couldn't come with them. That was just how it was. Her mother kept the drawing for years, long after most childhood artwork had been lost or thrown away. Something about that picture stayed with her. The name George, spoken with an odd fondness, became part of family lore. Aaron herself remembered none of it. Her first true memory, the one she could claim as her own, came when she was 5. She dreamed she was watching a baby girl take her first steps toward her. The dream was vivid, intimate, and strange in a way she couldn't articulate. When she woke, she bolted upright, heart racing, suddenly acutely aware of her own body. She left her mother's bed and sat on the carpeted stairs, touching her arms, whispering to herself that she was 5 years old, grounding herself in the present. That was the moment she remembered learning who she was. Not long after came the experience she would never forget. She spent the night at her aunt's house, sharing a bedroom with her cousin. It was an old house, the kind that absorbed daylight and held onto shadows. She knew her cousin would eventually abandon her to sleep in his mother's bed, and she dreaded being left alone. She insisted on keeping the closet light on, even though it barely softened the dark. Morning came quietly. She woke to golden sunlight filtering through aged window panes, the blinds still closed. Both bathroom doors were open, creating a clear view from her cousin's room through to her aunt's. The white and gray linoleum reflected the light faintly as Aaron stepped carefully onto it, padding across the floor, trying not to wake anyone. Halfway across the bathroom, something crossed directly in front of her. A rat. It was enormous, larger than anything she had ever seen. Its body was thick and dark gray, its belly nearly brushing the floor as it ran. It burst from beneath the pedestal sink and raced straight toward the bathtub, and then it disappeared. Not into a hole, not behind anything. It ran directly into the tub itself, vanishing as though the porcelain had swallowed it whole. Aaron wasn't afraid. She was confused. She approached the tub, crouching, searching for some explanation, a gap, a crack, anything. There was nothing. The tub was flush with the floor, solid, impossible. She stood there for a long moment, trying to make sense of what she had just seen, before quietly retreating back to her cousin's room. She didn't wake anyone. She waited until the house came alive again. Later that day, she told everyone. She described the size, the way it moved, where it vanished. No one reacted. Old houses had rats, they said. Children imagine things. The story was dismissed with nods and half-listening smiles. It was the indifference that sealed it into memory. Years later, Aaron would understand that this was the first time she realized something could happen right in front of her, clearly, undeniably, and still be unseen by everyone else. And that realization would change everything that came after. After the incident at her aunt's house, Erin stopped talking about strange things altogether. Not consciously. She didn't make a decision to keep quiet or convince herself nothing had happened. She simply learned very early which experiences earned attention and which ones were politely ignored. The rat became a family anecdote at best, a childish misunderstanding at worst. Either way, it wasn't worth bringing up again. Life moved forward in ordinary ways. School, friends, new houses, new routines. The kind of childhood that didn't feel haunted so much as slightly misaligned, as if Erin were always standing a half step out of rhythm with the world around her. She wasn't afraid of the dark. She didn't see figures at the foot of her bed. She didn't hear voices calling her name. What she did notice were inconsistencies, little things that didn't behave the way they were supposed to. There were moments when animals reacted to empty space, cats freezing mid-step, dogs refusing to enter a room for no obvious reason. Erin learned to watch their behavior carefully, not because she thought it meant something supernatural, but because it often preceded a strange feeling she couldn't explain. A tightening in her chest, a sense that the air had shifted, even though the temperature hadn't changed. She also noticed patterns in places, and certain houses felt heavier than others. Not darker or scarier, just dense, like sound, didn't carry the same way. Erin could never articulate it well. When asked what was wrong, she usually shrugged and said she didn't like the layout or the lighting. That was easier than trying to explain why some rooms felt crowded even when they were empty. As she grew older, she began to understand that not all strange experiences felt the same. Some carried weight, others didn't. The rat, for instance, never returned. There were no follow-up incidents at her aunt's house, no repetition, no escalation. It existed as a single, self-contained moment, sealed off from everything else. That bothered Erin more than if it had been part of a pattern. She could have dismissed repetition as imagination. One-off events were harder to categorize. In her early teens, Erin started noticing how memories behaved differently depending on what they were attached to. Ordinary memories faded. Faces blurred, voices softened, but the strange ones stayed sharp. She could still picture the bathroom floor at her aunt's house, the way the light reflected off the linoleum, the exact direction the rat had run. She remembered details she had no reason to remember. At the same time, she began noticing how adults reacted when certain topics came up. Her mother still avoided talking about the Ouija board. When Erin asked questions, the answers were short and unsatisfying. It wasn't fear exactly. It was caution, as if revisiting those memories required opening a door her mother preferred to keep closed. Occasionally, Erin would catch her mother staring into space, eyes unfocused, listening to something Erin couldn't hear. When asked what she was thinking about, she would shake her head and say she was just tired. Her mother still insisted that whatever followed her hadn't attached itself to Erin. That mattered. Erin clung to that reassurance more than she realized. The idea that the strange things in her life were inherited rather than chosen unsettled her. If something had been passed down to her without her consent, what else might follow? As a teenager, Erin experienced what she later called near misses, moments where something almost happened. She would turn a corner expecting to collide with someone and find the hallway empty. She would hear movement behind her, spin around and see nothing. Sometimes she caught motion in reflective surfaces, a blur in a window, a shape in a mirror that disappeared the moment she looked directly at it. These moments never escalated. They didn't come with fear or threat. They simply existed, brief and confusing, like punctuation marks in the middle of otherwise normal days. Erin didn't talk about them, and part of her suspected that if she did, they might become more frequent. Instead, she developed coping mechanisms she didn't realize were coping mechanisms. She memorized floor plans quickly. She preferred well-lit spaces, but didn't insist on them. She avoided basements without consciously deciding to. She learned to trust her instincts without interrogating them. By the time she reached adulthood, Erin had become skilled at living alongside uncertainty. College brought new environments and new opportunities for things to go wrong, but for the most part, nothing did. She lived in dorms, apartments, shared spaces filled with noise and movement. If anything strange happened, it blended easily into the chaos of student life. That should have reassured her. Instead, it made her uneasy. Because when something finally did happen again, it wasn't subtle. It wasn't fleeting. And it wasn't dismissible. The experience came in a place Erin had been many times before, a familiar environment that had never given her reason to feel uncomfortable. That was what made it stand out. The air didn't shift gradually. There was no creeping sense of unease. One moment, everything was normal. The next, it wasn't. She found herself standing still, heart racing, staring at something that shouldn't have been there and yet was unmistakably real. The details registered all at once, the shape, the movement, the certainty that this wasn't imagination or memory bleeding into the present. Unlike the rat, this thing did not disappear immediately. It lingered just long enough for Erin to understand that whatever rules governed her experiences, they were changing. For the first time, she didn't feel like a passive observer. She felt noticed. And that realization that she was no longer simply witnessing anomalies, but becoming part of a pattern, forced Erin to confront a question she had avoided for most of her life. Not whether the paranormal existed, but why it kept intersecting with her, and what, if anything, it expected from her next. As Erin grew older, the world didn't become stranger. If anything, it became quieter. That was the part she hadn't expected. She had assumed, based on her mother's experiences, based on the stories she had overheard but never fully been told, that once something strange entered a life, it tended to escalate, that it demanded attention, that it insisted on being acknowledged. But whatever Erin had encountered as a child did none of those things, since there were no follow-up appearances, no repeating symbols, no sense of being watched or followed. The rat never returned in dreams or waking life. It didn't reappear in other houses, in other bathrooms, in other half-lit spaces. It stayed exactly where it had happened, sealed into that single morning, that single house, that single step across cold linoleum. That containment became important to her later. In adulthood, Erin developed a cautious relationship with memory. She didn't distrust her recollections, but she understood how easily people shaped them over time. Fear exaggerated, repetition distorted. Silence filled in gaps with imagination. She became careful not to romanticize what she had experienced. At the same time, she refused to flatten it into nothing. She never told the story dramatically. When it came up, and it rarely did, she described it plainly. A large rat, the wrong size, the wrong movement, the impossible disappearance. She didn't add emotion that hadn't been there. She didn't claim terror when she hadn't felt any. That detail mattered most to her. She hadn't been scared. That single fact complicated every explanation she ever considered. Fear was easy to explain. Fear suggested threat, imagination, misinterpretation, but the absence of fear, especially in a child, felt significant. Children reacted honestly. They didn't intellectualize experiences. Erin knew that if the rat had frightened her, she would have remembered that above everything else. Instead, what lingered was confusion and curiosity. As the years passed, Erin encountered plenty of ordinary animals in ordinary ways. She learned what real rats looked like, how they moved, how they reacted to sound and light. She learned about pests in old houses, about gaps in plumbing, about the way fear could distort perception. None of it fit. Not the size, not the movement, not the way it had behaved like a solid thing until the moment it wasn't. More importantly, not the way it had felt separate from everything else in her life. Unlike her mother's experiences, which carried a sense of continuity and intrusion, Erin's moment felt contained, almost deliberate in its isolation. It didn't bleed into other events. It didn't attach itself to people or places. It simply existed. That realization eventually led Erin to a conclusion that surprised her. Whatever she had seen was not meant to frighten her. She didn't know what it was, but she knew what it wasn't. It wasn't a warning. It wasn't a threat. It wasn't a message she had failed to understand. It was an interruption, a moment where reality bent just enough to remind her that the world did not operate entirely on rules she could see. As an adult, Erin found that she was far less interested in labels than she once might have been. She didn't need the rat to be a ghost or a spirit or an echo of something that had once lived and died in that house. She didn't need it to symbolize anything, and she only needed to accept that the experience had happened. That acceptance changed the way she approached other unexplained moments in life. She became less reactive, less desperate for meaning. She learned that not everything strange required a response. Some things were meant only to be witnessed. Looking back, Erin sometimes wondered if that was why the experience stayed with her so vividly. Not because it was frightening or traumatic, but because it had been clean, uncomplicated, untouched by expectation or interpretation. A child saw something that did not belong. And then life went on. She never returned to that house. Her aunt eventually moved. The bathroom was remodeled, the pedestal sink replaced, the tub refinished. Whatever gap existed that morning, physical or otherwise, was sealed over by time and renovation. That, too, felt appropriate. Erin carried the memory forward not as a burden, but as a reference point, a quiet reminder that certainty was a luxury, not a guarantee, that sometimes the most honest answer to an experience was simply, I don't know. And that was enough. She did not grow up to chase the paranormal. She didn't seek out haunted places or test boundaries she didn't understand. But she also never scoffed when others told their stories. She listened carefully, asked questions. Not because she believed every word, but because she understood how lonely it felt to have an experience no one took seriously. The rat taught her that, not by appearing again, but by refusing to explain itself. In the end, Erin didn't need answers. She had lived a full life without being haunted, followed, or marked by that moment. It hadn't defined her, but it had shaped her. It had given her room for uncertainty without fear. And sometimes when she thought about it late at night, she found herself grateful that her first encounter with the unknown had been strange without being cruel. A reminder early on that not everything that slips through the cracks is meant to stay. And not everything that vanishes was ever meant to be caught.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now, so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day, only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, And you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What if you could get more from what you already do? As a Shell Fuel Rewards member, that's just a regular weekday evening. You get more rewards, more savings, and more special offers. Earn rewards when shopping, dining out, and fueling up. And all of that becomes fuel savings when you're at the pump. Use the Shell app and enjoy life with more. Your nearest Shell station is less than 5 miles away.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.